Scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good measure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hopes on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And I'm thankful to my sister in Christ for sharing the word of truth that can be trusted this morning. I invite you to be with me in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your word as well. We pray that it will not simply rush over our heads, but that it will fill us, abide in our hearts, and change us into the people you would have us be. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. I've referenced a particular ministry to this gathering before, a ministry that I was involved in and had the privilege of being reminded of at this past annual conference. It's a ministry called Kaya, and Kaya is Hebrew for new life. It's a ministry in particular to young men and young women, teenagers, who are incarcerated at Black Canyon School and Adobe Mountain. There are two facilities, jails, north of Phoenix, off of the 17. Kaya takes much of what it does from the Walk to Emmaus movement. And if you have participated in the Walk to Emmaus, either as a pilgrim or somebody has served, then you can get a feeling for what goes on at these gatherings. If you're interested, and here comes the little commercial, in the Walk to Emmaus, we have applications in our entryway, or you can talk to yours truly. Kaya is a time of surrounding these young men and women with love. And oftentimes, what you experience right from the beginning is a hesitancy, even a wall that's put up. And then slowly but surely, over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there's a transformation that takes place. And whether or not it takes root, that's not the point. They are introduced to a God who loves them and is at work in their lives in intimate and powerful ways. These are lives that have been forgotten in many instances. These are lives that have experienced abuse. These are lives that have experienced neglect beyond anything that you can imagine. And yet, in only 3 days, in less than 3 days' time, there's a transformation that takes place because of God's grace at work, because God changing from hate to healing to love, and also because they realize that they are now God's children. They belong to God. It's an amazing thing. I loved it. I was the one that was blessed. Anytime that someone works on a kaya, they're exhausted afterwards. Oftentimes, they get sick because, you know, you're with all these kids and they're passing germs around and you're hugging and things like that. And I don't explain that part of people whenever I try to get them to participate. I just say, you're going to be blessed. And they are. And I am. It's one of those feelings that you get whenever you're pouring yourself into something and you're tired and you're achy and you're worn down, and yet you are blessed because God's grace has filled you. And you know you're not worthy of it, but God has chosen to use you anyways once again. Amen? Kaya, and the stories out of Kaya, reminded me, or I was reminded of them, I should say, by the scripture passage today. Because the word adoption is used in this passage. And if we focus on the word adoption, we recognize that it is God's clear and definite purpose. God's clear and definite purpose to lovingly adopt us into His family so that we clearly know that we are His sons and daughters. God treats us and loves us as sons and daughters. And I should unpack that a little bit, because sometimes individuals have had experiences in their lives as sons and daughters that have been less than a blessing. God seeing us as sons and daughters means that He is only going to pour love into us. God seeing us as sons and daughters means that His grace is available for us each and every moment, each and every breath. God treating us as sons and daughters means that He's going to want us to grow, want us to flourish, want us to feel blessed in our lives, want us to feel satisfied in our lives indeed. One of the reasons that Paul used this term, kind of unpacked it, is because in the Old Testament, the idea of adoption was unheard of. The Jewish faith didn't practice it. And yet adoption was part of the Roman world, and Paul was wise in this way because he spoke to his audience. You know, he spoke to those who he's writing to, who he was preaching to. So they knew of this term. But in the Roman law, or under Roman law, girls were not adopted. It was really practice that only sons were adopted. And those who were adopted recognized that it was not their will. It was the will of the one who made the decision. All legal rights were with the father and not with the son. It was the Father's will that controlled everything. As Paul is sharing these words, what he's saying is our Heavenly Father now is in control. And whether or not we want it, we're being adopted by God. Whether or not we're ready for it, doesn't really matter what we think. God is acting in our lives. Think about that. No matter what we think, God is acting in our lives. And since we are adopted by God, we have that inheritance that is more of a blessing than anything in this world. We have the inheritance of eternal life. Forever. Eternity with God. Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever inherited something that you didn't really want? Or somebody gave you something and they were excited about it and you had to plaster that grin on your face and say, thank you. Now what am I going to do with it? Eternal life. My goodness. That, my friends, means hope. That this world does not define us. Who defines us? God. Who defines us? God. Who defines us?
God.
Amen. A second grade teacher asked her class, what is cleanliness next to? And a very young man responded, impossible. C.S. Lewis put it this way, try as hard as you can to be as good as you can for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Try. I know, it's a challenge. Try to be perfect. Practice every virtue. Try really hard. You can almost deceive yourself for 1 week, but for six? Only then will you discover how truly bad you are. C.S. Lewis's words there, by the way, cleanliness is next to impossible. With that reality, isn't it even more amazing that God adopts us? He sees our sin. One of the hymns that we sang this morning is one of my favorites, Grace, Grace, God's Grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. In other words, even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of us and our dirtiness, of living with the soil on our soul, God sees us as sons and daughters and gives us that inheritance of eternity with him. Max Lucado tells this story that speaks about God's holiness and this adoption that we experience by God's action, not by anything we've done, through the following story that speaks also of God's mercy. He tells about a loving mother in Brazil named Maria. Maria had a beautiful daughter named Cristina who wanted to leave their poor little village to enjoy the bright lights of Rio de Janeiro. Knowing her mother would never give her permission to leave, Cristina packed a few things and left home one morning before dawn, leaving just a note behind. Maria, the mother, was brokenhearted. Maria quickly packed some things to go in search of her daughter. She stopped at a drugstore on the way to the bus station and spent most of her money having pictures of herself made in the photography booth. Maria knew Cristina had no way of earning money, and she also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to ever give up. So Maria searched in the worst parts of Rio de Janeiro, her heart breaking, knowing that her daughter would have to do unthinkable things just to be able to survive. At each place, Maria stopped street corners, lobbies of seedy hotels, bathroom mirrors. She would write a note on the back of a picture of herself, a photo, and tape it up for everybody to see. It didn't take long for the money in the pictures to run out, so eventually Maria had to return to her village without Cristina, heartsick that her daughter was lost in that urban jungle of Rio. A month or so later, Christina, the daughter, descended the hotel stairs of one of those seedy hotels, her young face tired, her bright eyes faded into dull, her countenance fallen, and now full of fear and pain. 1,000 times she had longed to trade those countless beds for her secure pallet back home in her little village, but now the village seems so far away in so many ways. As Christina reached the bottom of the stairs, she noticed something familiar. There, on a lobby bulletin board, was a photo of her mother. Christina's eyes burned and her throat tightened. She removed the picture, and written on the back of the photo was this message from her mother, Maria. Christina, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And Christina did. God says this to us. Whenever we've done our own thing and gone our own way and turned our back on God, and said, God, okay, I got it now. I can handle it from here. Thanks. When we come dragging back to Him, He says, welcome home. Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. I love you more than you can imagine. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. In love. God lavishes His love on us. It's not something that the world can define. This is something that only God can define. Because God continues to receive us. Certainly, we can't think of anything in this realm that truly equals God's love for us. And that's why we continue to struggle for it. We continue to try to seek something in the world that is going to equal that, and nothing that this world has to offer equals the love and grace that comes from God through Jesus Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit. My friends, that love of God, that welcome home, is lavished on you right now.